Steve McCurry is one of the best photographers in the world. You've probably seen his work, even if you don't realize it, for both for National Geographic and he's with the Magnum Group, and like he's incredible. And also his war photography. He's been behind the lines in every major battle of recent years, and quite an amazing guy. And has the last roll of Kodachrome in the world, and it was the perfect guy to give it to. And he went out and shot the roll, and that's what National Geographic is doing a special on it. He's on the line with us now from New York. Hi, Steve, are you there?
I am here. Yeah, glad to be with you.
How are you doing? Where are you just back from?
I was. My journeys have taken me from Los Angeles to Malaysia, and then I was in South Africa, Switzerland, Paris. My next destination is unknown at the moment, but there's always some amazing trip or opportunity waiting around the next corner. So my travel schedule has been rather hectic for I would say the last 30 years.
Yeah. Do you dispatch yourself to these places, or are these all assignment things?
They are. I would say most are commissioned assignments. Although I do, do a significant amount of work on my own, but I've worked for National Geographic since 1980 and other magazines and an occasional commercial kind of corporate shoot now and then.
And now you got to do it all without Kodachrome.
Yeah, well, Kodachrome was probably the best film ever made. Surprisingly, it was invented by two musicians in Germany back in the 30s. I mean, the history goes way back. Yeah. But it was a great film. But actually, the world now is in many ways. I mean, there's still a lot of great films. I mean, a lot of photographers still love film and swear by film. So. Mm-hmm. Film is still very much alive. Kodak makes a lot of, wonderful films. It's just that this particular film, this legendary, iconic film, is now it's kind of over. But I'm working with digital photography now for several reasons.
Wow. Do you miss it, though? I mean, like you're saying, the silver halide group is a very big one, and they believe that life is more analog maybe than digital, and but you don't feel that way.
Well, there is a wonderful color palette and tonality to Kodachrome. I have maybe 800,000 Kodachrome transparencies in my archive, but much of my shooting takes place in very low light. I love working in temples and bars and people's homes and dark, jazz clubs and places, alleys and with digital you can work in much lower light.
Yeah.
Kodachrome required, a tripod, or you'd have to use a flash, and it became very difficult to handhold late in the afternoon.
Yeah, and ASA 40 or something like that, or what was it?
ASA 64.
64.
And it had a Kodachrome 25, which, unless it was almost kind of bright and sunny, you were kind of pushing it a bit.
Yeah, you had to shoot the sun, basically, to get it.
Yeah, I mean, much of what I do is I just kind of wander the streets of a particular place and explore it with my camera, and often I'm outside, and then I'll kind of move inside. So I really need. In the old days, I would have two cameras. I'd have one with Kodachrome 64, and the other camera with Kodachrome 200.
Mm-hmm.
So if I happen to go inside for lunch or in somebody's home or whatever, inside a market, or I could switch cameras and go to the faster film. But and the beauty about digital is that you can do all of that with one camera, and you can shoot. You can go from a very bright sunny day into a very dark situation, and shoot in practically you know, total darkness. I mean, it's amazing how sensitive and how low you can work in these days with digital. I use a Nikon DX, and it's very, you know, great and kind of low light. D3X, it's just a beautiful camera with in low light.
Yeah, and the reason this is germane is because you had you were given the very last roll of Kodachrome produced, and the assignment was to go out and shoot the last roll of Kodachrome.
Yeah, excuse me. It was kind of an honor to be able to run that one last roll of film, and I haven't actually shot much film in the last few years, and to load that film into the camera, and it really brought back a lot of memories. And to, you know, I wanted to make each frame special and each frame count, so I decided to just use one exposure on most subjects, just to, you know, get as much out of that role as I could.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not used to that way of working. I'm used to working, you know, shooting through a situation, and often that takes, you know, dozens of pictures.
Right. So did the battery still work in your old camera? I mean, that's one thing. I have a Nikon that's pretty good, 35 millimeter, but the battery, you can't find a battery.
I have three or four film cameras ready to go at a moment's notice. The batteries worked, in fact. You know, and then the question was, you know, well, where do you shoot?
Yeah, what do you,
shoot? And I thought, well, what better place to work and to, you know, photograph is in, you know, where I live since the last 30 years. So, and then I thought, which was New York, and then I thought, well, where have I spent much of my career, and where, what's foreign destination is kind of the nearest or the dearest and the place I'm most fond of, and that was sort of South Asia and India in particular. So kind of started off working in New York, photographed, I was looking for iconic situations and iconic people,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, I kind of felt Kodachrome was an iconic film, and
right.
I wanted to, so I kind of started the roll off. I was thinking, you know, what personalities in New York really stay in New York and really, and I thought, you know, well, somebody like Robert De Niro would be a good choice because he grew up in New York, lives in New York. A lot of his films, I admire his work a tremendous amount. A lot of his films take place in and around New York. So, And he, we actually, you know, he lives a short way down the street from where I live in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So it seemed like a natural way to start the roll off. And then
and he was okay with that. Did he?
Yeah. Well, he's you know, he's knows a lot about art and photography, and you know, his father was a really really accomplished painter.
Oh,
so
yeah.
He was very willing and happy to. So he went down to his. Studio and his office in Tribeca, and photographed him there.
Mm-hmm. Did you try Woody Allen?
Woody Allen, we called him. They were interested. Called Martin Scorsese. They were
sure.
Both out of town on location. So, you know, they were definitely also part of my plan. But, you know, these directors are off and about probably most of the time.
Yeah, I guess he's probably in Barcelona shooting somewhere. He says he doesn't shoot in New York anymore. It's too expensive to do it. So.
Yeah, exactly. Although he lives here,
I mean,
whenever time, you know, the production is so expensive here that it makes more sense to film practically anywhere else.
And Paul Simon didn't want to do it, even though he wrote the song and everything?
Yeah, well, there's only so much time you want to devote to pursuing these things, and... That just was not to be, and I'm sure the timing, you know, these people have, he's out on the road performing and to try and dovetail my schedule with his schedule. And then the film, we did actually a documentary, National Geographic documentary on, shooting this last role. So the schedule was a bit tricky. We were here only in New York for a few days, and then we went off to India.
Yeah. And you only have, 36 shots? Is that what you...
Yeah, there's just 36 frames on the roll. And, when I'm shooting otherwise, it's just, you go with your instincts and you're never afraid to try this or try that or shoot, pictures which they're not maybe great, but at least it kind of gets the wheels moving. And sometimes I think of pictures as notes and kind of a diary, and although they're not, masterpieces, sometimes you just want to shoot to record a particular situation or place or whatever. And sometimes, pictures, every situation you shoot isn't profound and wonderful. Often it's just you're amused by a particular shape or a person walking down the street or a particular light. So it's good to kind of keep working. So, but with this particular role, I wanted each image to stand alone. Mm-hmm. And the ironic thing was at the end, I had three exposures left in the camera when I got to Parsons, Kansas. Now, Parsons, Kansas is the only place in the world that develops Kodachrome film. That's it. I'd never heard of Parsons, Kansas. Yeah. And I flew out there.
Is it a drugstore, or who's the guy there?
Well, it's this amazing lab with these really friendly, helpful, professional people who are getting shipments of Kodachrome. And I think they're processing about 4,000 rolls of Kodachrome every week. In the past, you could get Kodachrome processed in, India, in Switzerland, Japan, Australia, many places up the street in New York, they processed it at ColorWorks. But now, it just one lab is left standing for Kodachrome. So, here it is. It's 4:00 in the morning. I've gotten into Parsons, Kansas. And I had three frames to shoot, and I had to do it in the last 4 hours.
So what did you shoot in Parsons?
Well, I photographed. There was somebody sleeping on a park bench, and I have a. That's one of the themes that I've always enjoyed shooting as people. In fact, on my website, I have a whole section of people sleeping. And then I shot a picture of kind of a self-portrait in my hotel room. I just thought, well, that's
got to.
I should have some kind of record of, yep. of me on the roll.
Yep. Got to.
So, I did that. But the middle part of the shoot was all in India.
Mm-hmm.
And
was that more or less serendipity, or did you go to places that you'd shot before, or did you just kind of feel it out?
Yeah, I went to Bombay. And I went to kind of a remote part of Rajasthan, which is kind of a desert. And we actually went at the absolute worst time of the year when the heat is just the most intense. And if somebody said to you, what's the, I want to go to India when it's the absolutely worst time. what week is that? And that's the week that we were kind of there.
Yeah, what week is that, just for future
it's
reference?
It's the week just before the monsoon starts.
Yeah.
When the heat and the humidity and the... It's just the air is still,
yeah.
and you just think you're going to die. And I was worried about the film because, heat is not a friend to any kind of film, for that matter. And there was no air conditioning where we were, so we were. This film was sort of sitting in this, baking in this camera, and I was worried there might be some color shift. And then we were going through all these X-ray machines. I must have gone through close to a dozen X-ray machines, and worried that there might be some damage from the from that. But fortunately, it was okay.
Did you get some good? I bet you got some great stuff.
Yeah, I was pretty pleased with the India pictures. There's a, India's changing so rapidly, and a lot of the traditional tribes and way of life is quickly, the roads and communication and television. It's the way people, the architecture and the way people dress, and it's all just, it's changing before your eyes. It's so, from year to year, there are these amazing changes. And it's all, the whole world is sort of becoming kind of homogenous, at least is the way we all dress. And, and music and all of that. It's, the Chinese have manufactured so many clothes that, you go into these really remote parts of Afghanistan or Tibet or in parts of Africa, and, we're all wearing the same thing. The Gap will buy, I don't know how many tens of millions of pieces of clothing, but maybe there's a few million that are slightly off, and they all end up in some remote part of Afghanistan.
Yeah, with the Calvin Klein knockoffs from China.
It's
unbelievable. And by the way, we can. It's hard talking about the photographs without seeing them. But you produce iconic photographs. I mean, you have some of the most beautiful photographs. The iconic one I think of is the Afghan girl. That's kind of a famous photograph of yours. And this can all be seen on your site, right?
Yeah. It's my website, www.stevemccurry.com.
Yeah,
and,
stevemccurry.com.
The Afghan girl was a photograph I made in 1984, was made on Kodachrome. And that picture is as vibrant, and the colors are as true as they were when I took it back then. I inadvertently left some Kodachrome in a storage unit in 1979. And just a month or so ago, I went back to that storage unit and realized to my horror that I had film in this. It hadn't been, it was in the heat of the summer, and it was just still beautiful. After all these years, all my archive is in an air-conditioned, kind of a very secure situation. But this film, although in the extreme heat and all that, was still fine. So it was a really that's one of the great things about Kodachrome, was how the archival and the longevity of this film, and how pictures from the 40s or 50s are still have a great look, and still the colors are still true.
Right, and there are pictures, because now with digital, we have pictures that will never be preserved, really, because they'll be on the cameras, and you get them. When the camera goes, the pictures will probably go with them, and not so much prints anymore, or certainly not slides.
Yeah, it's a huge problem, and the whole question of we're in the infancy of digital photography, and the whole storage question and putting them on hard drives or DVDs or whatever. DVDs go bad. They're not perfect, and if you don't have your work backed up, I would say three times, you're running a real risk. If you're on discs, DVDs or whatever, they need to be changed out every few years. So you're right. Going through your drawer and finding old negatives or pictures or transparencies, those days are over.
Yeah. Plus the disappearance of the slideshow. I don't think young people can recognize how important the slideshow was to us. for so many years, where we could go somewhere and then force people to watch the slides on a Kodak carousel.
Yeah.
And that happens no more.
Well, you can do a PowerPoint presentation, yeah. But I always found that
right.
the projector through that film was just beautiful, and somehow the PowerPoint presentation just doesn't have that. Everything looks sort of out of focus and a bit washed out.
So the 36, they're all shot, and Parsons did a good job on it. The processing came out
well.
Yeah,
I was.
You're happy with it?
I went out there and I met with them, and we walked into the lab and we watched them load it up, and then when it came out, it was dried, and then they cut it up and mounted everything, and it was they were very friendly, very professional, and they're going to stop processing Kodachrome at the end of the year, and that'll be it. I mean, if you have a roll of Kodachrome, get it in. It's just not going to be processed.
Yeah.
I think they said if you process it, it'll come out as black and white, but it won't have any color on it.
Oh.
So that's that's the end of the story.
That's a shame. Because I got a roll of Super 8. Do they do that?
Yeah, they can process all that, but not after the end of the year.
That's it.
I think it's December. I'm sure there are a lot of photographers that are, are scrambling now to get their work. If they're working in Kodachrome, it's the last days.
And when do we have to wait till the National Geographic special to see what you got?
That documentary will be out in the spring, hopefully around April. And they're working on as we speak to put everything together. And
yeah.
We spent about 2 or 3 weeks putting this together.
Yeah. Are any peaks of it on your website itself of what you got?
No, I have not actually shown any of the pictures to anybody. We're going to kind of wait and show them during that documentary.
It's kind of like a Twilight Zone thing, isn't it? Where the last roll of film on Earth, like the guy who loved books, remember, and he had all the libraries to himself. He was the last man on Earth.
And then the glasses got broken.
Yeah, he steps on his glasses and he can't read.
That was a classic episode of the Twilight Zone. I remember that. Yeah,
sort of like the last roll of film here, and got to make sure that
exactly.
Parsons got it right. Thanks, Steve. Very nice speaking with you. And people can check in on your website and just see the photography. You'll recognize a lot of the shots. He's a great photographer. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you. Have a good day.
My best to you. Steve McCurry.